Ramsey TV.
Yes, you see correctly. The title of this show is What is Pornography? And I'm going to define it. I didn't know this was needed, but it is. Based on comments that were made on my show last week, namely the show about using the world, about God giving us all things richly to enjoy. And I happened to mention that one of the things he gave us richly to enjoy was pornography. Set off a little explosion there. And some of the comments made me realize that there was a teaching needed on this topic, because a lot of us, I don't blame anybody for this, a lot of us have some of our religious training left over, which is itself a product of a puritanical view of sex generally embraced by the West that says sex is wrong. I mean, it equates sexuality with evil. God made us male and female, and he said it was good. So I want to straighten this out for the sake of those who would, in a wholesale way, condemn any pictures or writing meant to elicit a sexual response. Now we're getting close to the definition of pornography. But first of all, ladies and gentlemen, this is Martin Zender, by the way. Welcome to MZTV, start of another week. I'm going to put a link down here of a video I published on Sunday. This is the video of Rodney Paris of Texas. As you know, he is taking cassette tapes of mine, analog tapes from late 90s, early 2000s, wonderful messages that are not available anymore because who has a cassette player? So Rodney is taking these tapes. He's putting some wonderful video behind it and some text frames to help the teaching along. And so yesterday was part one of what I called back in 1997 the Sovereignty Series. When this series came out on cassette, it helped so many people. I can't tell you the number of people who said this series changed my life. They said to me, you know, Martin, you put this so clearly, so plainly, and I listened to this part one for the first time in 15 years, and I was astounded. I was blown away. It is so clear, so plain. If anybody can watch and listen to this presentation, the Sovereignty Series part one, linked below, if anybody can watch it with even half of an open mind and not see the truth about the sovereignty of God, then they're truly locked up. I had a debate in 1997 with a man named Pastor Clay Kent. Was in Fairview, South Carolina, and he pulled a trick before the debate happened, and I describe it in detail in this video. And the trick that Pastor Clay Kent pulled, and this is a guy who believes in the salvation of all, it took me a week to process what happened at that debate, but I learned something vital about what the proponents of free will have to do in order to put across their heresy. And so it's all in this tape. It's hard-hitting. It's quick. I mean, you might look at it and say, an hour and 3 minutes. It's going to go by without you realizing what happened, okay? I commend this to you. And the best part is it's part one of an eight-part series. So that's going to be coming out every Sunday from now for 8 weeks until the series is finished. So if you haven't seen that yet, I did publish it on Sunday. But if you haven't seen it, I commend it to you. Watch it. Send it to people who are confused about the topic of the sovereignty of God versus free will. Because most people are like Pastor Clay Kent. I'm giving you a clue here. They want to have it both ways. The name of this presentation is You Can't Have It Both Ways. So watch it. Send it to people you know. Straighten them out, because this is a matter of understanding this topic. As I told you in the What is a Believer series, is a matter of Aeonian life or Aeonian death, because the sovereignty of God is essential. I should say jettisoning, throwing away, in the garbage heap. The teaching of human free will is essential in order to grasp the foundational aspect of Paul's gospel, which says Christ died for our sins. Okay, to the topic of pornography. I do not shy away from any of these topics, which many people would consider controversial or dirty or suspect, or, oh, you know why you like to talk about pornography, Martin. Well, maybe you don't. Maybe I need to straighten some things out. Pornography, this is the general definition of it. It is visual or written matter designed to cause sexual arousal. Now, I would adjust that to say that any written or visual material that causes sexual arousal, I would even take the designed away from it. Unless, here's a good one, unless you want to attribute the design to God. Because, correct me if I'm wrong, sexual desire is essential to continue the race. Sexual desire was essential in Adam toward his wife Eve, or you and I wouldn't be here. Sexual arousal by itself is neutral. It can be bent toward either good or ill purposes. And everybody assumes, this is what I found in some of the comments, I was amazed. Everybody assumes that, oh, when we're talking about porn, we're talking about sexual arousal, instantly it's put in a negative light. And instantly people think that it's wrong to desire, for a man to desire the beauty of a woman. Or it's wrong for a woman to desire the notice of a man. No, these things are all wonderful, natural things that exist in the human world, in the animal world. I mean, there are some men that can get aroused looking at the shapes of certain clouds. I mean, it's so near our tent, ladies and gentlemen. And any man who condemns himself for this will lead a miserable life, because he will be fighting against what God made him. Oh, and by the way, you know I have a book coming up called The Lie of Every Man's Battle, based on a refutation of the Christian book, Every Man's Battle. I'm going to give you a sneak preview of the cover of this book. Here it is, for the first time on video. Here it is, The Lie of Every Man's Battle. How to Undo the Spiritual Damage Wreaked Upon the Sexes by the Christian Bestseller. I have a co-author here by the name of Heidi Koppel. That's right. And because of this, I avoid the accusation, ah, Martin Zander, you're a man. This is the perspective of a man. Well, that's the only perspective I have. I'm sorry. Of course, you're going to think a certain way. You're a man. Okay, well, I have a woman who understands the truth about pornography and the truth about how God made men and women. And it is here in the book, The Lie of Every Man's Battle. So, there's this false idea in Christianity, and among some of my audience, that any depiction of a woman, naked or otherwise, is a gateway drug. And James Dobson, the guy who ran Focus on the Family, he had such a weird, twisted mind that he assumed that anyone who started looking at Playboy as a boy, that it would inevitably lead to, like, dismembering women in your basement. It would inevitably send people to into careers of raping and murder. I mean, this is just absurd. But this is the religious obsession. This is the obsession with the flesh that, according to people like James Dobson and the authors of Every Man's Battle, we don't battle these things by the Spirit. No. We battle them by trying to control the flesh, by keeping ourselves away from any depiction of anything arousing. But how is this overcoming it? Did Jesus Christ hide? Did Jesus Christ build a monastery and go into it? No, he was tempted. Listen, tempted in every manner we were, but without sin. These lunatics who go into monasteries, and these lunaticettes who go into nunneries, how are they resisting temptation? They're getting rid of the temptation. They're not giving the Spirit an opportunity to overcome it. What's greater? What is greater? A man who hides himself away in a monastery and just has dreary walls to look at all day, and all he sees is his fellow fat bastards dressed in burlap. Oh, wow, this guy, he's really spiritual. No, you know what's spiritual? It's a guy who's a photographer, let's say, and has a job photographing the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition, or he's a photographer for a lingerie magazine. And this guy's surrounded by feminine beauty all day, and he goes home and loves his wife. Because the Spirit of God controls him. There's nothing wrong with the desire. There's nothing wrong with looking. There's nothing wrong with having the feelings that God gave you. It's the artificial means to try to squelch it. That is calling nature evil, basically, and saying, this is wrong. We have to avoid this. No, you face it, and the Spirit of God causes you to react responsibly. Now, I quote in this book, in my book, I marked this page with, oh, here it is. In my book, The Lie of Every Man's Battle, these damn authors, Stephen Arterburn and Fred Stoker, and by the way, I'm going to send my book to these clowns. Oh, yeah, they're going to get a dose of it. They're going to realize that, hey, you have a book refuting your book that is a force to be reckoned with. Listen to this. Oh, I am going to get into sex trafficking. Don't worry, I will get into it. In a section titled Visual Foreplay, I begin this section like this. Did you realize that merely looking at a woman is the same as stroking her breast and rubbing her inner thigh? See, that was pornographic right there. What I just said right there, that's pornographic. Some people even now, especially men, are going, stroking her inner thigh. Hadn't thought about that until Martin said that. Do you think these men are going to go out now and rape, dismember? The fair sex. I don't think so. But this is what these religious people are afraid of. Oh, by the definition of pornography I gave you, writing or photographs that arouse the sexes, the Book of Esther could be considered pornographic. Many passages in Song of Solomon can be considered pornographic. I've gotten aroused reading Esther. Oh, yes, I have. And then when you read the description of Rebecca, Isaac's, who goes out to get a wife? Yeah, oh, Abraham's servant goes out to find a wife for Isaac. And the first thing this servant notices, and God points this out, is that she was fair of face and form. What does that have to do with anything? That's evil. Everybody knows a woman's form is evil. But he goes to this particular woman. Why? Because she was good looking. Shame on this man. If he had read Every Man's Battle, he would have learned to bounce his eyes. Yes, because bouncing the eyes, the authors of Every Man's Battle, they have a 6-week plan for men to bounce their eyes from any beautiful woman, any image of suggestiveness that might lead them to have a sexual thought. They demand that men bounce their eyes from any images. It's the same as sending yourself into a monastery. You don't trust the spirit. No, you have to control yourself by the flesh. Well, this servant of the great Abraham, if only he had read Every Man's Battle, he could have bounced his eyes from the beautiful Rebecca. Instead, he runs to her. That's what the text says. I get into it in the book. Don't worry. He runs to her. Now, see, if he'd have been a good man, he would have found the ugliest woman at the well. The ugliest woman. Because you're allowed to look at ugly women, apparently. It's not a problem. All right. So back to my offering here in the section titled Visual Foreplay on page 202 of The Lie of Every Man's Battle by Martin Zunder and Heidi Kolpo. Here we go. Did you realize? Yes, I'm going to say it again. Prepare yourself. Did you realize that merely looking at a woman is the same as stroking her breast and rubbing her inner thigh? No, that's because you have not read Every Man's Battle. And here's a quote from this diabolical book. Let's restate this fourth natural tendency in different words so you don't miss the point. For males, impurity of the eyes is sexual foreplay. That's right. Just like stroking an inner thigh or rubbing a breast. Because foreplay is any sexual action that naturally takes us down the road to intercourse. Foreplay ignites passions, rocketing us by stages until we go all the way. So here's the chain of events, according to Stephen Arterburn and Fred Stoker. It starts with the impurity of the eyes, which to them is looking at a beautiful woman. Right there, that's impurity of the eyes. This, according to them, inevitably rockets us by stages until we go all the way. It's the same teaching as James Dobson. It's a gateway drug. Looking at the cover of Maxim magazine is a gateway drug. Noticing a billboard of a beautiful model, it's a gateway drug. Now, my commentary, you can imagine. Well, I'm not going to leave it to your imagination. Here's my commentary on that insane quote. Perhaps you do not realize this. Looking at a beautiful woman, which Arterburn and Stoker call, quote, impurity of the eyes, takes us down the road to intercourse. It is unavoidable. Quote, foreplay ignites passions, rocketing us by stages until we go all the way, unquote. Have any of my male readers ever experienced this when appreciating passing female beauty? I never have, not once. I have been alive now for some time. I've been appreciating beautiful women for a good percentage of that time. And I cannot tell you the number of women I have looked at and not put my penis into. Ah, thousands. For some strange reason, I was able to look at the legs of a woman at the grocery store the other day, as an example, and not be, quote, rocketed by stages until I went all the way with her in the frozen food section. Can you imagine that? What prevented me, after noticing the legs of this beautiful woman in the grocery store, what prevented me from chasing her down and nailing her in front of the ice cream in the frozen food section? Why? That crazy, intangible thing that has more power than the law of Moses called the Spirit of God. Ah, but the Spirit of God will not be found anywhere in the book Every Man's Battle. Because success in the department of keeping yourself from sin depends on strict discipline of the eyes. And if you practice for 6 weeks, you can conquer the thing God gave you to imbibe of His glorious creation. Absolutely pitiful. So pornography is not evil of itself. Oh, I got a quote for you along that line. And it is in Romans chapter 14, verse 14. Listen to this. This is Paul speaking. If this wasn't in Scripture, if this was not inspired by the Holy Spirit, I myself would not believe it. But here it is. Are you ready? I have perceived, Paul speaking, I have perceived and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is contaminating of itself, except that the one reckoning anything to be contaminating, to that one it is contaminating. So if even some of my viewers think that looking at Playboy, looking at a naked woman, I don't know if you've ever been to the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York City, but there's a lot of depictions of naked women. The Amish or the Baptists, perhaps, they can't even go to museums because they're forced to look at art. The human body is art. God shows off the human body. He created Adam and Eve naked, and He called it good. How dare anyone call what God calls good evil? Some people think that's wrong to even look at the Venus de Milo at the Louvre in Paris because she's naked from the waist up. She's missing an arm, too. That's not very sexy. I saw the Venus de Milo several years ago in Paris, and I was not aroused by that missing arm. But the breasts were very nice. They stood out firm, and she seemed very, very proud of them. They were sticking right out there, and I appreciated it. I did not bounce my eyes from the Venus de Milo. Did I sin? No, because I don't condemn myself. I can look at a swimsuit model just as easily as I can look at a painting at a live woman and appreciate it and move on. Yes. Thousands of women I have appreciated and not fucked. It's amazing. How do I do that? The Spirit of God. So if I may give you a word now about sex trafficking, because this is along the same thinking, the same line of thinking that even looking at an attractive female for men. Oh, by the way, we men, we're the sinners. Women are pure and holy, you see, but we're the sinners. I'm going to get more into this on tomorrow's show. Just two shows to cover this topic, if you don't mind. I didn't think you would. The assumption is, as soon as somebody hears the word pornography, they automatically think that every single woman who's bearing her body is being sex trafficked. It's just this illogical, gut, knee-jerk, emotional reaction to something that people inherently don't like. It's not chiefly women, it's also men. And they just think, oh, how can you look at pictures of women who are being sex trafficked? Folks, are you telling me that these smiling models in the centerfold of Playboy are having guns held to their heads and being taken advantage of and being used for the evil purposes of the publishers of the magazine? No. In fact, the woman is using them. Yes, the women or the woman taking advantage of the magazine, because these women make millions of dollars. They're launched onto stellar careers. They become famous. It's just a win-win-win for the women. Same with the swimsuit edition of Sports Illustrated. I mean, come on, these are supermodels. Some of them, this is a great effect. I kind of like this. I'm gonna put a picture here. Okay, right here, I'm showing you an illustration right here of a photograph of a swimsuit model who is naked but has a swimsuit painted on her. It's art, because the human body is art. Could it be considered pornography? Yep. Is it evil? If you think it's evil, it's evil. Is it a sin? If you think it is, it is. But if you're more pure-minded, like me, I'm pure-minded. I can look at this stuff and appreciate it. But if you're evil-minded, if you think the worst of yourself, and if you don't trust the Spirit of God, then you're going to see everything as evil. You're going to see everything as an opportunity to fail God. These morons who write Every Man's Battle, the one guy has a battle with looking at women's underwear ads in the newspaper. And he actually says, and I get into this in the book, that it was keeping him from a pure prayer life. He couldn't face God. He couldn't look God in the eye. Why? Because every Sunday morning he'd open that damn newspaper and he would see those bra ads and he would look at the women and he would feel a flutter of appreciation, and he knew that that was a sexual thought, and he knew that the next thing he'd be trying to obtain her phone number, and he couldn't help himself. He would eventually have to have sex with her because it's Fred Stoker and he's a moron and he has no relationship with God, because his only relationship is with himself and his ability to, by fleshly means, control his flesh, which he doesn't, because self-righteousness is the worst sin on the market, as I've explained to you many times. So anyway, I'm sorry, I got a little sidetracked there. Before the show ends, sex trafficking, yes. Have you heard of amateur porn? Do you know what amateur porn is? Let me elucidate you. I just read this somewhere. Somebody told me about it. Women like taking pictures of themselves. They call them selfies, and showing them off, or having their boyfriends take pictures, and they're exhibitionists, I guess. Nobody's holding a gun to them. They're happy. They're smiling. Let me give you some statistics on sex trafficking, if I may. By the numbers, human trafficking in the United States, every 2.5 hours, a child is taken by human traffickers. 7 years average lifespan is the lifespan of a child victim once taken. 100,000, 150,000 victims that are held as commercial sex slaves. We're dealing with children. 96% of trafficking victims are female. Every trafficked child is purchased for sex 5.4 times a day. Who doesn't condemn this? Do you think that by talking about images that arouse the sexual senses, that is images created by God, by the way, do you think that by promoting or appreciating that I'm at the same time promoting sex trafficking? Are you crazy? And do you think that because there's a picture of a woman in a bikini on the billboard, somebody's holding a gun to her head, someone kidnapped her, and they let her out of the closet long enough. No, this chick's making $1 million a minute for that billboard. And she's using the people. She's using the people. Women who decide to dance, they're using the club. They're using men. They're using us people. We're not using them. They're using us. I guess you could say it's symbiotic because, as Bob Seger once sang, I used her, she used me, neither one cared. So I've heard women who dance for a living, I've read articles where they have said, leave us to hell alone. They have these religious organizations wanting to shut down strip clubs. And these girls that are making their living, they're making good money there, and some of them even supporting their families or getting money for college. So leave us the hell alone. We're not being forced to do this. This is a business. We're providing a service. We're providing a need. This is not sex trafficking. It's a whole different thing. But listen, every industry has an underbelly. Every industry, no matter what it is. In fact, sex trafficking is a crime of greed. It's a crime of men, basically, who take advantage of people's desire for sex. If you got rid of every single erotic website on the internet, you think you'd get rid of sex trafficking? Hell no. It's the same stupid thinking of the people who think that banning guns would get rid of gun violence. I mean, the people who have it in their hearts to do it will do it, and they already have the guns. The people who want to traffic women will take advantage of people's desire for sex, especially child porn, which is horrible, terrible. Nobody's promoting that here. Again, it's a crime of greed, not of sex, because there's nothing wrong with sex. God made them male and female, and he called it good. I'm going to share with you an email, then I'm going to close here, not all of it, but some of it. Somebody said to me, how will you respond to your condoning of pornography? Are these women not made by God and for God, as Paul says in Colossians? Yes, and he made them women, and he put breasts on them and other things. Do you not realize how many of these girls are sex trafficked? My question to you is, sir, who wrote this, do you realize how many of them are not sex trafficked? Do you not know how sex traffickers use pornography to brainwash their victims? It's evil. And now you might say, oh, don't tell me you're one of those people who says they have to bounce their eyes. The writer of the email says, yes, I am. Do I struggle with this almost daily? Yes. And I pray for the Lord to take that from me. What? Looking at beauty? Why would anyone? I write, as far as sex trafficking is concerned, of course it's evil, but it existed before modern internet pornography. That's because sex trafficking is not primarily about sex, as I said, but about greed. Sex is a basic human need, and there will always be a demand for it. Eliminate all printed sexual material, and you will not eliminate sex trafficking. You won't eliminate crime. That's because sex trafficking is not caused by pornography. It's caused by a basic human need, sex, in combination with greedy criminal people who take advantage of that need. I mean, think about it. Sex trafficking is forced sexual labor. Who wouldn't condemn it? It's slavery. So it's crazy to think to automatically, I swear I'll end with this, to automatically assume that a picture of a beautiful woman, even a naked woman, oh, she's sex trafficked. Come on. That's immature. And it's illogical. And to say that anybody who looks at a Playboy magazine, oh boy, they're going to turn into a criminal, they're going to become a rapist, they're going to be dismembering women in their basement. That'll lead inevitably to that. They'll be rocketed by stages until they do it. I said to this person, you'd be interested to know, and I looked this up, ladies and gentlemen, that Amnesty International is calling for a full decriminalization of sex work. That is, yes. I'm going to say that again because I didn't say it too well the first time. Amnesty International is calling for a full decriminalization of sex work. Why? Because it'll eliminate the black market. And I support it. I think prostitution ought to be legal. I've told you this many times because it would keep it from going underground. That's where the crime occurs, just like in the days of Prohibition. You make alcohol illegal. Now you have an underground business. Now you have people killing each other. You have the black market. You just invite a crime syndicate to be created. Same with this. Quit calling it immoral. Quit calling it illegal. I'm talking about sex in general. So I call for discrimination. You can't just say that everything is this, everything is that. I call for regulation, not prohibition. All right. Boy, did I really talk for that long? I'm looking at my time. This is crazy. But this is a topic I'm passionate about because so many lives have been ruined by religious upbringing on the topic of sex. Ruined. People have been taught that sex is dirty. Even some of you, that's your knee-jerk reaction. Oh, it's a naked woman, it's evil. A man looks at a naked woman, it's dirty. He's a pervert. It's a gateway drug to crime. Come on, it is not. And you see, I've said this before, I'll say it again, I'll close this show with it. I keep saying I'm going to close, but maybe I won't. Maybe I'll just talk for another hour because I'm pissed off about this. And I loved writing this book against the moronic book, Every Man's Battle. It has ruined marriages. It has turned people into nature-denying robots. It has driven people to call what God made good, to call it evil. Do you want to rocket someone by stages into crime? Then here's how you do it. You do it by religious prohibitions. You do it by the law of Moses, which says, thou shalt not. You slap your kids' hands when they're little, when they're playing with themselves in the bathtub. You make sex evil and dirty. It is that will, I almost guarantee you, rocket them by stages into sexual addiction. That's what the law of Moses does. It produces indignation. That's what any law does, especially when you attach God's condemnation to it. And that's what people have done with sex and with sexual image and with sexual writing that people enjoy. People enjoy it because it's escape from reality. And it's beautiful and it's fun and it's fun and it's dangerous. And you don't do it. You're not going to go out and do these things you read about in the novel. But it's fun to read about other people doing them. Is that evil? What's so wrong about that? It helps you get through life. It goes back to my crutch thing. It goes back to my coping mechanisms. In fact, it goes back to 1 Timothy 6:17. God gave us all things richly to enjoy, including this. So do you want to keep your kids from a life of sexual addiction? Then stop treating sex as something to be resisted, as something evil, as something that God meant for us to hide under the bed or to never talk about. That's the people that get screwed up, the people whose parents never talked to them about sex because, they were raised that it's wrong. Their parents never talked about it. Their parents' parents never talked about it because they're ashamed of it. And people grow up with shame. And people who are saying today that pornography, it's wrong, they're shamed. Somewhere along the line, they were shamed into denying their natures. And it is that will drive you into religious madness. It's that will drive you into corners of asceticism where the only thing you're relying on to survive is your willpower. That'll last for 5 minutes, maybe 5 months. At the outside, 5 years, you will break, you will crack, and it will produce sex sprees of mosaic proportions. If you want to be free, then follow Paul. When Paul says, all things are allowed me. Not all things are expedient, no, but all things are allowed me. And what I accept by faith is not sin. It's not sin for me. What I condone in my own mind, because I realize that God made everything for all, He made all things for us to enjoy, to me, that thing is a joy, not a burden. It's happiness, not a challenge. It causes me to praise God, not to condemn Him for giving me eyes and for giving women beautiful bodies. That is freedom.